Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we are pleased to welcome Governor Phil Murphy for his first appearance on the show since being elected. He was here as a candidate, but for the first time now as governor on this day after unveiling his first proposed state budget, one that he calls a fiscally and morally balanced budget. Governor, thanks so much for making this one of your stops today. I know it's busy. You just came from an NJ Transit board meeting, and you're doing a million things. So welcome back to WNYC, and thank you.
Brian, I'm very happy to be here. I'm looking forward to hearing that Beatles hair salon discussion later.
Yeah, only the important stuff.
Exactly.
And listeners, we will take your calls for the governor. I'll ask him some questions first, then we'll do a call-in section for the rest of the half hour, and we will limit this to New Jersey callers. So if you live in New Jersey and have a question for your new governor about the budget or anything else, 212-433-WNYC. And we definitely want questions from people who've been hearing or reading about these budget proposals with the new taxing and spending priorities. So call us up, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, especially with that. And Governor, you say fiscally and morally responsible, but when I Google the words Murphy budget, I get headlines like NJ.com, here are all the taxes Phil Murphy wants to raise or enact in his first budget. NorthJersey.com, higher minimum wage, higher Uber fees, higher taxes, how Murphy's budget hits New Jersey. They use the word hits. Patch.com, Murphy wants to raise sales tax. So do you need to start taking the narrative back from the media already in some way this morning?
Now, I feel, Brian, first of all, it's good to be back. I feel very good about what we presented, and I just want to put it in context for folks who are listening, and particularly from New Jersey. So we're digging out of an eight-year narrative that was all about gutting government spending. You mentioned I was at NJ Transit's board meeting this morning. I think the first governor ever to do that. They're a poster child for gutting spending. A narrative that said no matter what, taxes have to go down, even if they were gimmicks. And a narrative that ripped our values away from us. So we used to be a state that was never a low-cost state to live in, but it was good value for money. People came here for public education, higher education, infrastructure, our values. It was a fair equation, and we have had 8 years of that equation where the premium to live here has gone up, up, and up, particularly borne by the middle class. Not just in taxes, but non-tax taxes, like fares on NJ Transit up 36% as the state government gutted its support. And the basket of things that a middle-class family got back in New Jersey shrunk by the day, whether it's poor service, underfunding public education, higher education, roads not getting repaired, whatever it was. So this, in I think a very responsible way, resets the narrative in this state. You can't do everything in 1 year, but this is about tax equity and fairness, and it's about getting back to the basics of investing in education at all levels, from pre-K up through higher ed, infrastructure, transit, both rail and buses. And the objective is for folks to say, you know what, I'm getting a lot back at last from this state. This is the way it used to be, and that's our objective.
Some Republicans are already calling you Florio II, a reference to the one-term Democratic governor from the 90s who never recovered politically from raising taxes in year one. Yep. Here's Republican Assemblyman John Bramnick, who represents parts of Union, Somerset, and Morris counties.
If the first thing a new governor does is raise the sales tax and other taxes, that's a signal to everyone in New Jersey, hold on, baby, this is just the beginning of the ride.
What's your reaction to just the beginning of the ride and the notion of Florio II?
So I'd say the following. I am not here worrying about my next election. I got elected to do what's right in New Jersey, period, full stop. And that's what we're going to do. And that is, we're going to, at long last, after 8 years in the wilderness, get back to investing in the middle class and making this again a place where folks say, you know what, this is the place you got to be. This is where you want to bring your kids up. This is where the business ought to come to. We're back to getting that momentum that we used to dominate. We used to dominate the innovation and infrastructure economies. We've had leadership that allowed our edge to whittle away. We're going to get that back. So I'm not thinking about politics. I'm thinking about what's right for the next generation and the generation to follow. I would just say to John, who's a good guy and a friend, you know, John agreed with Governor Christie, to a complete gimmick to preserve Governor Christie's narrative, to cut the sales tax just when he raised the gas tax so he could say he didn't raise taxes. John knew at the time that it blew a hole in the side of our budget, as everyone else did, just to feed that personal narrative of the former governors. I'm not going to be that governor.
And here's one more clip of a legislator, and this time a Democrat, and obviously the legislature is Democratic Party controlled, so you have the State House and you have the legislature, but here is Assembly Majority Leader Lewis Greenwald.
We shouldn't have any discussion around taxes until we have an opportunity to review the impact on the federal tax reform.
So what's your reaction to waiting to see how that Trump tax hike on many New Jerseyans shakes out until, like, next April 15th?
Yeah, so again, Lou is a friend, and I think he does extraordinarily good work. We already know how the tax plan from Washington is going to impact New Jersey, and there's precious little of it that's positive. And so this is, you may have noted, if not, I want to make sure the listeners from New Jersey noted, for instance, that's why we're challenging the constitutionality of that tax plan at the highest levels with other states. It's why we're coming up with creative solutions. It's why I raised the cap on deductibility of property taxes yesterday from $10,000 to $15,000, which would include another 540,000 families. The very wealthiest among us, the biggest corporations among us, I think there's broad agreement on this, are going to do really well from the Trump tax plan. So on top of the already important imperative to reclaim fairness in our state, particularly with the middle class first, the Trump tax plan furthers that rationale. And so I'm looking forward. We had a great discussion before the budget yesterday with Lou and colleagues from his side of the aisle. We briefed both sides of the aisle, in fact, before it. I'm looking forward to the next couple of months, and I'm very confident we'll end up in a good place.
So if there was a lukewarm response by the leaders of your own party to the budget, do you see it as a political fight, or is it really over substantive difference among New Jersey Democrats?
I think at the end of the day, and I'm proud of this as a Democrat, I think this will be that we're going to prove to be the party of substance. Again, we've inherited a state that was led by the other side for 8 years, which ravaged the middle class and ripped away our soul as a state. And I'm very confident that fellow Democrats, and by the way, I hope we have help from across the aisle. Some of the concepts we talked about yesterday in our budget, such as raising the property tax limit for deductibility, that has bipartisan support. So I'm confident that we will prove to be not just a party, but a state at the end of the day that makes decisions based on, you know, we call balls and strikes. We make decisions based on fact.
On your appearance before the NJ Transit Board today, a story in The Record says you describe your budget as nearly tripling state investment in NJ Transit, but a closer look at the numbers shows it's less than that because of reductions from other sources like turnpike tolls, so the net increase is actually not triple, but less than double. What's accurate in your view this morning?
I'm going to stay with tripling. If you look at a bar chart, as I have of the past 10 years of the state support for NJ Transit, you had, I think, 3 years in a row, and it was, you could pick them, unfortunately, almost any three, but 3 years in particular in a row where the total for 3 years of the state support was less than a third of what we're putting in our budget for next year. As we sort of think about, Brian, the economic development in our state and reclaiming our rightful place, in almost every conversation I have with CEOs who are either here or coming here, five things come up. Taxes, as they should. We want to make sure we're smart about that. Public education, higher education, infrastructure, particularly commuting, mass transit, trains and buses, and our values. You know, where are you on gun laws? Where are you on women's health, et cetera? Those are the consistent five themes. So the NJ Transit investment is not just per se into NJ Transit. It is a central element of what we see as our economic development and our economic future.
And before we go to calls, let me just ask you about your proposal for recreational marijuana legalization, which I know is for various reasons, but also provides a new revenue stream by taxing the product, so it's in the budget. Our New Jersey correspondent, Karen Rouse, as I think you know, has been reporting on social justice arguments, both pro and con, for recreational legalization. It would stop criminalizing the activities of young people of color that white people don't get criminal records for. But there's concern that the negative effects of more drug abuse from easier access would be felt disproportionately in poor communities of color, and also that the business owners who would make a lot of money from selling legal weed would be disproportionately white. Could you address both of those concerns?
Well, as you rightfully point out, and Karen has done good work on this, the prime reason to support this is social justice. So we have the widest white, non-white gap of persons incarcerated in New Jersey in America. And it is not entirely due to low-end drug offenses, but it is overwhelmingly due to that. And so that's principle number one. That's objective number one. As you rightfully point out, if you regulate it and you do it right, you can earn revenues, and I'm happy with that. God knows we can use them, but that's not the prime reason to do this. Separately, our state, particularly over the past 8 years, has a miserable record of minority and women-owned businesses. If you compare New Jersey to New York, it's embarrassing. So one of the things we're committed to generally, not specific to recreational marijuana, is we got to turn that narrative on its head, and we are committed to doing that. But if you're worried about social justice, if you're worried about keeping this business out of the bad guys, if you're worried about kids getting exposed on an ongoing basis, I respect those who want to decriminalize, but the fact of the matter is it doesn't accomplish any of what I've just said. We need to, and by the way, Brian, I'm also happy we're not state number one. We can learn from good and bad elements of other states that have done this, but regulating it, taxing it, protecting our kids, adult use, and that's the important descriptor. I believe with all my heart that is the way to solve this awful social justice reality.
You mentioned the women and minority-owned businesses. My understanding is that the current bill does not include any preferences for business ownership and also does not expunge the criminal records of people with past convictions for what would now become legal. Do you want those things, and can you get them into the bill?
I mean, the bill has just come up, and so we tend not to get into the specifics of a given bill, but conceptually, both of those things are things that we've talked about and conceptually support.
Elizabeth in Maplewood, you're on WNYC with Governor Murphy. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi, good morning, Brian, and Governor Murphy, thank you. I'm the president of the South Orange Maplewood School Board.
Hello, and so, Elizabeth, how are you?
Hi, and as you know, there's been a lot of excitement in our community for your starting in office and the work that's underway. I'm looking forward, hopefully, to state aid numbers for our district today, and I wanted to ask two questions. I don't know if this has been raised with you yet, and I'd like to find out how school districts can engage with you and how to make state aid dollars stretch further by dealing with the incredibly high health care costs that school districts bear compared to other state and county employers. And it's both a twofold problem, both high health care costs statewide for all New Jersey residents and health care consumers. We were among the highest in the country and not necessarily highest in quality, but also the school employees' health benefits plan, which was historically the primary vehicle for health insurance for school employees, has had soaring premiums and hasn't been functioning in the same way that the state the state plan that covers state, county, and municipal employees. And this is a way that you could, if we could have reform and make it actually work, state aid dollars would go much further and actually reach the classroom. So I wanted to ask if that's being discussed.
Those two things, and I'm going to jump in and get you an answer from the governor. Governor, go ahead.
Yep. So Elizabeth, first of all, good to hear from you. And Maplewood is and South Orange are both two of the great communities in the state, so, and I'm there a lot. We, as you likely saw yesterday, put a major statement financially. You know, folks ought to rightfully ask, hey, by the way, if you're undoing gimmicks, the prior tax gimmicks, and you're asking for tax equity, what am I getting back in return for that? And I think if you're in a community like Maplewood, which is a big commuting town, as you know, Elizabeth, with a very proud, high-performing school district, you're going to get a lot back. The specifics of which we have not gotten into yet, in fairness, but we have said we are committed over the next 4 years to one step after the other and with meaningful amounts of money to fully fund the school funding formula. And the Maplewood South Orange combined district will be, if we get to that, will be a big winner. As it relates to health premiums, you know, you've got this awful reality where costs are going up. And you've got folks who are, you've got a lot of educators, as you know, who are taking home less money than they took home in 2010 when they had reforms jammed down their throats. I think even the hardest reformers didn't anticipate in their wildest imagination that folks 8 years later would be taking home less money. And it's not only, but it's largely due to health care. And so what we've committed to do, and I mentioned this yesterday in our budget address, is we're going to make our pension obligations. We're going to increase the state aid meaningfully to get it increasingly toward fully funding that formula. But we're going to work with communities and with the educators and other public sector unions to find health care savings that give you that 1 + 1 = 3 reality, where the individual does better, but the state and the districts also come out ahead. And that's one way, as you rightfully point out, that we can stretch our dollars.
Richard in Jersey City, you're on WNYC with Governor Murphy. Hello, Richard.
Good morning. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Governor Murphy, I'm not sure if you're aware of the tax reevaluation going on in Jersey City.
I am generally aware of it, Richard. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning. Sorry. To those who don't know about it, there's a tax reevaluation. Our current mayor ran on a no reevaluation platform his first term. Now that he's been reelected and doesn't have to worry about it, we've had our tax reevaluation. And for example, my property taxes are going up from $18,000 a year to $32,000 a year.
Yep.
Other friends of mine who live in the neighborhood, their property taxes are tripling.
And Richard, let me just jump in and ask you if there's something you want the state to do about this as opposed to the government of Jersey City.
I'd like the governor's position on it and if there is anything the state can do about it. That's
Governor. Richard, listen, property taxes come up in probably every conversation, or whether it's this where folks are calling in. I'm doing a town hall in Paramus tonight. It's top of mind. And again, we're digging out of 8 years where property taxes have gone up. Educational funding has gone down. By the way, 53% of an average property tax bill in New Jersey is for education. And the formula that I talked about with Elizabeth a minute ago has been was underfunded for 8 years by $9 billion. So that's not an abstract number. That goes right to the heart, not only of the quality of our public education, but to people's property tax bills. I can't control what goes on in any given community, but I can tell you this. We want to do everything we can at the state level and at the same time fight back hard against the Trump federal tax plan to deliver whatever relief we can. So whether that's fully funding public education, raising the deductibility from $10,000 to $15,000, we have an idea which we think has got good IRS precedent to convert a property tax payment into a charitable contribution. There's precedent in 33 other states that would preserve deductibility. So those are all, you know, given the weapons that are available to me at the state level and what we can do to push back against the feds, we're going to do everything we can to deliver whatever relief we can.
Jefferson in Lincoln Park. It's not often you get to say Jefferson and Lincoln in the same sentence, but Jefferson, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Hi, Brian. First off, I just want to say I listen to your show every day. I love it. And your show is an oasis of information in these transitional times.
Thank you, sir.
Jefferson, good morning.
Good morning, Governor, and thank you for taking my call. I just moved in October from Pompton Lakes, New Jersey, and I am deeply concerned because I'm sure you read the article series, Toxic Secrets, about the DuPont contamination in our town.
I have.
I am on the board of the Pompton Lakes Residents for Environmental Integrity, and a companion group of ours, the Pompton Lakes Community Advisory Group, works to inform the residents about the cleanup efforts and, you know, what they can do in order to participate in that. And we're concerned because I know there was an article in NorthJersey.com saying that you had Catherine McCabe looking into this to report back to you, and we have been trying to get in touch with her many times and have yet to even receive a response or an acknowledgement of that. And we're concerned that our part of the story is not getting told in this. Yep. It took 10 years of us speaking with these reporters and lobbying to get this kind of coverage before that series ran, and thank God that it did, because we are only just now getting this story told, and it's a century old at this point. They've been contaminating our town since the early 1900s.
Yep.
You know, so I hear you talking a lot about taxes. We're paying taxes in that town to live on contaminated land,
yep.
which just now we got a reeval, and the taxes are going to go up. Meanwhile, the borough council is in the paper saying that there's nothing wrong, that it's being cleaned up. The EPA and and DuPont are cooperating, which is, you know, they're sure they're talking with each other, but they don't talk to the residents.
Yep.
And our part of the story is really not being told,
yep.
and we are deeply concerned about it.
So, Jefferson, one thing, I will get someone in the DEP to get back to you, and they will get back to you ASAP. I just don't know what the best way is to get a hold of you. I assume the Brian's people have your number. Is that a number you would that be okay for us to get to call you on?
We can do that. Jefferson, we're going to take you off the air, and if you are comfortable with it, you'll give your contact information to us, and we'll give it to the governor's office.
So, and Brian, on this one, I've got my colleagues listening. I want to make sure Jefferson gets called today. Secondly, if the folks listening don't know this, this is a really tough situation, and it's one of these things that brings back memories of Love Canal, which is, you know, those are two words that none of us want to hear again. So we've got our DEP, and I promise you, our commissioner, Catherine McCabe, and her whole team are taking this very deadly seriously, trying to also get as much as we can out of the federal EPA. But with the Trump administration and given the persons who are running the EPA in Washington, I don't have a lot of optimism that we're going to get much support or sympathy. So we are trying to get to the bottom of this, and I want to make sure Jefferson knows we take this very, very seriously.
Ann in Clifton, you're on WNYC with Governor Phil Murphy. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Good morning, Governor.
And over the weekend a couple were married in the halls of the high school there who had met 30 years ago in that very hall.
Oh, really? Wow. Well, first I want to thank you for introducing your progressive budget. I really applaud your millionaire's tax, which some of the wealthy in New York State are planning to do voluntarily or would like to do voluntarily. There are wealthy, patriotic citizens who realize our economy is unbalanced and trending dangerously towards income inequality. So your millionaire's tax is greatly appreciated by me and many of my friends.
Thank you.
And then
you
I'd
had
like
a
to
question,
ask for
right?
something.
Go ahead.
Another way to stabilize our state would be to have a more secure election system.
Mm-hmm.
Given yesterday's vote in Pennsylvania, where I think they will probably need to have a recount, this is something we cannot do with the system we have right now, the DRE black box machines. What we need is a voter-marked paper ballot system so that in the case of a very tight election, we can have a recount.
Governor, how much do you agree?
Agree conceptually very much so that our voting rights and voting, we've got really two issues in New Jersey. By the way, Ann, I appreciate your good words on the agenda. And I want to make sure folks out there realize this is not class warfare. This is, you know, we want all comers to be in New Jersey, stay here and enjoy it. We want to get this sort of, this is tax equity, and that's what this is about. Brian, we're under so that we have two levels that we're dealing with in New Jersey, and this is common to some other challenges we have given the past 8 years of leadership. Number one, democracy is too narrow, so we don't have any in-person early voting. We have none of the online registration abilities that other states have. Former ex-felons can't vote. My daughter was 17, turning 18 last year. A lot of states let you vote in the primary. If you're going to be 18 by the general, we don't do that. No automatic registration, Department of Motor Vehicles. So one challenge we have is our democracy is far too closed relative to what it should be. We even, under the Christie administration, gave our voter data over to this Kobach commission, this lunatic that Trump had claiming voter fraud. Separately, we've got Russian influence, let there be no doubt about it. We've all read that. I believe it will continue. So we not only have to deal with opening up our democracy, but to make our systems more secure, we have to do both. We must do both, and we will do both.
And we are just about out of time. But before you go, Governor, as you know, we get to break a little bit of news here with you. And it includes a thank you for agreeing to Ask the Governor, a radio call-in show on the three public radio stations that serve New Jersey, which is us, plus WBGO in Newark and WHYY in Philadelphia. This show we are now announcing will be broadcast bimonthly from the studios of WBGO in Newark, and the host will be WNYC's Nancy Solomon, who's also the managing editor of our New Jersey Public Radio. The first show is scheduled for a week from tomorrow, March 22nd, from 7 to 8 p.m. And like today, you'll be taking calls every show in that series. So, Governor, thank you for participating in that on an ongoing basis. Anything you want to say about it before you go or yeah. anything else?
No, listen, I'm thrilled to be doing it. And we've got a really good model. We're going to be rotating month to month from on-air TV to public radio. I love the model. Great to be on with you again, Brian. And I want to make sure everybody out there listening knows that we're out there. We want to make sure we're staying in close touch. We'll be in Paramus tonight at a town hall. And I really am thrilled to be back on with you.
Governor, good luck with everything. And we'll be talking, too. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Governor Phil Murphy.